Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. Boy, it is good to be in church. Sometimes it seems like it's a long time between Wednesday and Sunday. But boy, I'll tell you what, it's good to be in church. It's good to be saved. It's good to have a hope of one day seeing our loved ones in heaven and seeing Jesus Christ in all His glory. And we try to get a glimpse of His glory here through the Word of God and through walking with Him and the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. But I'll tell you what, one of these days we're going to see Him as He really is and not have our minds tainted with this world and the things of life, but it'll be all Him. And you know, that's fitting, because when He went to Calvary, it was all you and all me on His heart and on His mind. And boy, if we could get to the point where we focused on Him half as much as He was focused on us when He walked to that hill and bore that cross that you and I should have been bearing. Amen. What a Savior. I've been thinking a lot lately about just stuff, you know, stuff like normal stuff, everyday stuff that you normally don't think about, you know, because things have changed and things have slowed down. We got a little more time to think sometimes. And, you know, honestly, we had a little more time to, unfortunately, to spend time as a family. I hate to say that, because we should have been doing more before. But we do. We had made a point to, you know, play games together and stuff. You know, we always read the Bible together and pray together. But to do things that are good, clean things you can do in this world together, like, you know, just to do some family time stuff. And I think the whole world, I hope and pray the whole world's got a taste of that. You know, a lot of folks, you know, they say that crime rates increased a lot because people had to stay home together. Isn't that something? Domestic violence calls and stuff went up because people actually have to try to live together now. Instead of, you know, we'll see you next Thursday for 10 minutes, or, you know, get the kids after school and drop them off to the babysitter. Now they actually have to, things are more like God intended them to be in some circumstances. Amen? And it's just, it's a good thing that this world has slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, amen.
And really think about life.
And
what's really a good thing, what's really exciting, is people have to slow down a little bit and think about death.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, that's the devil, if he can't steal your total joy and he can't steal your love for God, he'll steal your time. And boy, he's done that to this world. Everybody's so busy, they don't have time to even think. Matter of fact, they don't have to think. They can turn on the TV and the radio and have it think for them.
Amen.
They don't have to think. That word amusement, there's somebody's thinking for them. To muse is to think, and to be amused is to have somebody put thoughts in your head. You know, you go to an amusement park, why? So you can have a good time and be happy. I go to church to have a good time and be happy. Amen. I do. Yeah, I enjoy church, and there's some things in this world that I love. There really is. I love the Lord. And I say in this world because He's in me. He's in you if you're saved. I love the Lord.
Amen.
I love my Bible.
Amen.
I say again, I love my Bible.
Amen.
Amen. I love my wife.
Amen.
I love my kids.
Amen.
I love my family, my mom, my sisters, my church family, my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
I love the fact that one of these days when I draw my last breath, I know where I'm going.
Amen.
I love the fact that that's going to be with Jesus Christ forever. And I love being in church.
Amen.
There are a lot of things I love. There are some things I hate. Now, when I was a kid, there were a couple words that my mom didn't like us saying. Shut up and hate. But, you know, honestly, sometimes people just need to shut up.
Yep.
I mean, if y'all had sisters, if you're a male and you had sisters, you know, this time they need to shut up. Amen. And sometimes people just need to shut up. And hate, that word hate, there are some things I just hate. Now, we couldn't tell each other we hated each other and get away with it. Oh, I hate you. I do. Boy, my mom, I don't want you talking like that. You don't hate. But there are some things I do hate. And you might think, well, that's pretty strong. Well, there's some things God hates.
Yep.
And He's pretty serious about it, too. Amen.
Amen.
In Proverbs chapter 6, we'll look at some things that God hates. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. There's some things right there that God hates. I believe the book, and he hates these things. You know what's ironic about it is you look down through this list and you can see a proud look. We know God hates pride. And we know where pride ends up. It's always headed toward a fall. A lying tongue. There's a liar right there. You don't like lying. Hands that shed innocent blood. There we got the abortion clinics. There we go. We have a country that allows that. God hates that, by the way. And if there's any more innocent blood than a baby, I don't know what it is. A false witness that speaketh lies. Boy, he's right back to that lying thing again. He's pretty serious about hating lies. You know, when you're talking to people sometimes, well, you ever stole anything? No, I never stole anything. You ever told a lie? Well, you just did, because you probably stole something. Yeah. But you ever told a lie? No, well, maybe a little lie. God just listed lies twice. Yeah. Isn't that something? Yeah. God hates lies. And look at this last one. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. Yeah. You know what that tells me? That tells me God loves unity. Yeah. And he loves unity to the point that he hates not discord. It says he that soweth discord among the brethren. Amen. He's hating an individual. Yep. That's against his unity. That's some serious business. That's a dangerous list to be on. And it's just funny to me that he puts that on there, because God loves unity amongst his people. And the devil loves to cause division. Now look, Christ divides. He divides the wheat from the chaff. He divides the truth from lies. But the devil likes to get in there and divide people that are supposed to be focused on truth. And boy, to be on that list, that's an important list to remember. But I hate some things. In Psalm 97:10, it says, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He that preserveth the souls of his saints, he delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked." He that loveth the Lord hate evil. I hate sin. When I first got saved, I couldn't say that, because I was learning how to hate sin. But after years of getting messed up and in and out of it, I hate sin. I hate sin, and I wished and prayed that I could hate sin the way God hates sin. I hate all sin. I do. I hate my sin. I hate your sin. I hate all sin. But I wish I could hate it like God hates it. God hates sin. He went down through a list of things, and I'm telling you, he is serious when he says he hates something, and he is serious when he says he loves something. And he wants unity. He loves unity. He hates the folks that sow discord among the brethren. He hates sin. I'm glad he didn't hate the sinners and just throw them into hell. But he hates sin. I hate sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I hate sin because it causes death. Adam and Eve in that garden, here the devil comes along and says, "Ye shall not surely die." There's a liar. Amen. And guess what he's doing? He's also he that soweth discord. Because Adam and Eve were in unity. And he comes in and he splits Adam and Eve up. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to get between a husband and his wife. He wants to get between Jesus Christ and His church. Amen. He that soweth discord among the brethren. I hate sin because it brings forth death. It brought forth death in the garden, and it brings forth death today. We're going to go to a funeral Tuesday, and we're going to pay our respects. I've been asked to speak there and pay our respects to somebody that has went on to be with the Lord. But we're going to that funeral because of sin. Because this world is a wicked, sin-cursed place. And no matter what man does, no matter how good man thinks they are, no matter how they elevate each other or themselves, this place is still wicked. I hate sin. It's destructive. It takes our loved ones from us. Now, I know if they're saved and we're saved, it's just for a short time, but it takes them from us. It's sin. I remember when we buried my dad. I remember, well, my dad, he was already gone, but we had the funeral. I remember that, and I remember for the first time I really started hating sin. I think I got a real good taste of the way God hates sin. Because I looked at my dad's life, and I looked at the fact that it was cut really short. And I remembered, you know, I wasn't mad at God, I was mad at sin. I remember talking to a preacher, and I remember saying, you know, I'm not upset with God, but I know sin causes this. And when that came through my mouth and into my own ear, I realized I hate sin because it takes things from you. And it causes death. I hate sin. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. I hate sin because it causes death, and I hate sin because it causes separation from God. I hope and pray everybody in here is saved. I believe they are. But if you're lost, it causes separation eternally into eternal fire. It's a permanent separation unless you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And if you're saved, it causes separation of fellowship. Separation of fellowship. I'd say that David was somebody that knew what fellowship was about. Man after God's own heart. In Psalm 51, and I believe this is when Nathan the prophet came to David and told him that he's the man. He's the one that caused this great tragedy when he was dealing with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite and all that. And in Psalm 51, David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." David hated sin. You know, when he realized that what his flesh wanted, and what he gave into to satisfy his flesh for a season, not only caused death, but it caused a separation between him and his God. I believe David began to hate sin like God hates sin. He didn't hate sin the way God hated sin when he was on his rooftop. He didn't hate sin the way God hated sin when he set Uriah the Hittite up. He didn't hate sin the way God hated sin when he tried to cover up the mess that his flesh and his sin had made. But when Nathan comes to him and he preaches to David and he tells him about that man that all he had was that one little ewe lamb, and David says, "Boy, that guy, God's got to get that guy." And then Nathan said, "You're the man, David." And when David realized what he'd done between him and his God, I believe he was developing a real hate for sin. If Christians would just hate sin the way God hates sin. I do hate sin. I wish I could hate it the way God does. Lord, make us hate sin the way you hate it. Romans chapter number 6, verse 12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." I hate sin because it causes death. I hate sin because it causes separation between you and God. And I hate sin because it will control you if you let it. The old preachers knew exactly what they were talking about when they said, first I had sin and then sin had me. Because that's exactly what happens. I hate sin because it will take over and destroy your life. I hate sin. My cousin's ex-husband, they had his funeral last Friday, 57 years old. About 20 years ago, he had a... My cousin is a sweet lady. She's a good wife to him. A good saved church-going lady. Couldn't get him in church. He had kids. He had a house they were working on. He had a very good business. And he started messing around with dope. And you know what happened? I'm not putting this in order of importance. I'm putting this in chronological order. He lost his business. He lost his family. He lost his children. He lost his health. And eventually lost his life. He was my friend. You know what that helps me do? It helps me hate sin all the more. I hate sin. I wish we could hate the way God hates it. Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I hate sin because it causes death. I hate sin because it causes a separation from God. I hate sin because it will take over and control and ruin your life. And I hate sin because it sends people to an eternal lake of fire. And I hate sin. It destroys lives. It destroys families. It destroys opportunities. I'm saved, saved, saved. Praise His holy name. But I'm realistic about this. I know one day I'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and there's going to be some wasted opportunities that He shows me. Because of sin.
Right.
I hate sin. I hate sin. Destroys the family. You know the biggest target the devil has out there besides the Word of God is the family. And if he can get people out of the Word of God, which he's done a pretty good job of, he can destroy the family.
Amen.
Amen. Because the Word of God tells you how to build a family.
Amen.
Tells you how to be a family. Tells you how to love. Tells you what to hate. Tells you how to act. Tells you if, when, and how to react. But it destroys families. There was a study done recently in this crisis that's going on, whatever's going on out there in this crazy world where people are having to stay home and they were trying to figure out, you know, because they're interested in money, they want to know where people's money is going so they know how to get people's money, amen, even in this kind of time. So they did this study to try to figure out what people were spending their money on. You know what the top three things that people are spending their money on? Food, alcohol, in the United States of America. Food, alcohol, and pornography. You know, two of those things are two of the things that destroy families. One of the things most people have an individual problem with, that's the food. But that alcohol and that pornography, can you believe that? The United States of America, the land of the brave, the home of the free, food, alcohol, and pornography. That's where that's where the world landed. That's where the United States landed. And unfortunately, that's where some saved folks probably landed. They're probably, every single one of them, their probably list is probably the same as the lost. Food, alcohol, and pornography. You know why? Because they don't hate sin the way God hates sin.
Amen.
Gosh. I hate sin. You know, God's got to be looking down here and He's saying, look, I've blessed your nation. I've blessed your family. I've blessed your household. I've blessed you with a job. I've blessed your bank account. And then you turn on me and you spend it on this kind of garbage that destroys families. I hate sin. Oh, that we could hate sin the way God hates sin. We're good at hating other people's sin. How about your sin? If you hated your sin the way God hates your sin, you'd get rid of it. But you know what you have to do to hate that sin that way? You got to love God. So, well, I do, preacher. Then why pick a sin over Him? I'm not saying why do you slip off into sin. I know you, the world, the flesh, the devil. We can make excuses all day long. I'm talking about that sin you won't let go of. If you love God, if we love God, this Bible says we'll hate evil. If you truly love the Lord, you'll hate your sin. Not just mine and everybody else's, but yours. I hate sin. I hate sin because it causes death. I hate sin because it causes separation between man and his God. I hate sin because it'll control you. I hate sin because it destroys families. It destroys individual lives. It's just destructive. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, talking about Jesus Christ, who His own self bare our sins in His body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. I hate sin because it put my Savior on the cross. It put my Savior on the cross. You know, it's funny because you'll hear somebody that's been through some kind of a violent thing, whether it be a bank robbery or just a drive-by shooting or whatever, and one of their loved ones is shot. And it might be somebody that's loved guns their whole life and hunted and fished and whatever. And you know what they decide to do? They just start hating guns. You know, you hear the stories. My family always had guns. We hunted, we fished, we did all this, and then this happened, and now I hate guns. Why don't people hate sin? Sin put my Savior on the cross. My sin put my Savior on the cross. Your sin put our Savior on the cross. I hate sin. God hates it too. But He loves you. He loves you. Lost folks He wants to save. Saved folks He wants to fellowship with. He hates sin. He hates sin. I do have quite a bit to say. I think I've said quite a bit. I don't have a whole long time to say it today, but I got a lot to say. I hate sin. Death and destruction. I had a dog named Spot. He wasn't very bright. Typical Baptist dog, amen. He wasn't very bright. He was my dog. But wherever I went, he went. And he'd come to the porch. I'd give him food, give him water. He'd run free. Well, I'm from Missouri Hillbilly area. You know, our dogs run free. Amen. If they had a leash, they stole it off a little wimp dog. Amen. They didn't have their own. But he'd come back, and he'd eat, he'd drink, and I'd pet Spot, and I'd walk. Wherever I walked, outside, inside, whatever, that dog was with me. One day, Spot shot out that door, and he took off. He didn't come back for about 45 minutes. But what he had done, he went over the hill, and he went down to the boulevard where people walked and people rode their horses. And you know what horses do. Horses leave messes. And that dog got down there in that mess, and he rolled all in that horse manure. And he come home. Spot and I, I'm sorry. Needless to say, our fellowship was a little different when he got home. I didn't want to walk so close to him. I wasn't as anxious about feeding him and giving him water, because he stunk. He got something out in the world on him. And when he come back home, he's like, why don't you want to be with me? Why don't you want me to walk beside you? Why aren't you petting me the way you used to pet me? Why don't you want to feed me? Why are you staying so far away? Because the world had done stunk him up. But you know what? Spot had more sense than most Christians. You know what he did? He decided it was time for a bath. Take that hose and turn that thing on. Get that dog all lathered up and cleaned off. And as soon as I took my hand off, I'm going to run like 15 feet because you know what's coming next. That tidal wave where it starts at his nose and goes all the way out to the tip of that tail and water flying. Then he'd run around and dry off, roll around the grass. Then he'd come back and sit beside me and I could pet him again. I didn't mind walking with him after that because he was clean. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to get the garbage of this world off of us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Because God loves you. He loves us. But He hates sin. Just like that dog when it come back, sin is a stench in the nostrils of our God. And you'll never walk close to Him. You'll never have that fellowship until you get clean. I said Spot wasn't very bright, but Spot had enough sense to know who could clean him up. You can't do it. I can't do it. But God can. His Word. He wants to clean you up. He wants to have fellowship with you. God hates sin. And if we could hate sin the way God hates sin, if we could begin to love God the way He loves us, we could really begin to hate sin the way He hates sin.
Amen.
But the truth is, most people love their sin so much, and they've got so much of the world on them, that they refuse to go back to God. They don't mind that distant relationship until the world's caving in. You know, the world's a lot different when you're walking with God. It's when you're caught up in the filth of this world and your fellowship's injured and broken that distress comes. But that's another thing sin brings, is distress. I thought about this a lot the last couple days. That my cousin's husband, a good friend of mine, we hunted together, we fished together, and we come to a fork in the road where he decided to fool around with that dope and we parted ways. But it could have been me. I could have dabbled in that sin and that sin could have got a hold of me. But it got him. Sin's taking people out right and left. I hate sin. But I love Jesus Christ. And I just hope and pray that we can learn to hate sin the way He hates sin. Maybe there's something in your life that you've been hanging on to that you know is wrong. Something you're struggling with. And like that dog, he couldn't turn the hose on and clean himself off. But if you get a hold of God today and ask Him to clean you, to forgive you, get your sin under the blood of Jesus Christ, you could be clean just like old Spot. Have that fellowship restored. He might not have been the brightest dog in the world, but he did know how to get clean. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we love You. We're trying to love You right. We want to hate sin the way You hate sin. Help us. And Lord, as we have a few moments of silence, whatever we're struggling with, whatever we're dealing with, Lord, whatever's between You and me, between You and us, make it clear in our mind and our heart and our soul that we'll get it under the blood of Jesus Christ before we walk out these doors today so we can have fellowship with our Lord and Savior, the only one that can clean us up and the only hope we have of being clean and staying clean. Help us, Lord. Help us to see sin the way you see sin. So we have a few moments of silence. Help us, Lord. Father, again, we love you and we thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for being a long-suffering God. And Lord, today and every day, help us to see sin the way you see sin. Help us to love you right and to hate evil. Lord, as we take a short break, we ask for you to bless us, our mind and our heart, that if there's some business that we haven't taken care of already, that we'd continue to deal with and let you deal with us. And Lord, bless the prayer meeting coming up. In Jesus' name, amen.